Amen. Appreciate the message that Brother Thomas brought to us. And it is needful for us to be thankful, isn't it? I mean, it makes a big difference in our day when we could start out giving thanks and throughout our day as well. That's just one of the ways that we offer up our prayers to God. Thanksgiving is one of them. And so as we go through each day, may God help us to remember how needful it is for us to be thankful. All right, I also have a question for you. You ever feel weak? You ever feel in need? It's common. It's not unusual at all. But what can help us when we feel like that? You'll notice in Psalm 73, there's a lot here that I could read, but I'll just get what I'm after is verse 26. Psalm 73, verse 26. Not only are there times that we on our own feel like that we are weak, we got a lot going on in this world today that interferes with things that we would like to do otherwise. And so all of that, rather than beating us down, should cause us to turn our hearts to the Lord. Okay? Listen to Psalm 73, verse 26. My flesh and my heart faileth. Been there? Sure we have. Okay. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Now, if that's not the words of a child of God, I don't know what it is. I mean, it says so much. All right, we do have those times when we are weak. There are times when we feel like that our heart just faileth. It just melts within us, all right? But he said, God is the strength of my heart. When we get to those times, that's when we should turn to the Lord. He is the one who has the strength. You know, when we go to Ephesians chapter 6 and we read about the armor of God, okay? Paul said, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. All right? He's the one with endless might, okay? One of the names of God in the scriptures is the Lord of hosts. And I understand that sometimes means Lord of Sabbath, Sabbath, okay? But there's another meaning to that Lord of hosts, and it means God of endless supply. God of endless supply. Don't you like that? You know, there's times when we need something and there's just not enough of it, or we don't have the resources to get what we need, but God is the God of endless supply. His storehouses are always full. After he's bestowed blessings and mercy and grace upon all of his people, he still has more than enough to continue to supply that need. All right? So David, Psalm of Asaph, I guess, he says, my flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. That's our confidence. That's our hope, that he is that forever. Okay? So we don't have to worry about God running out of the ability to help us. All right? So when we're weak and when we feel like that we're failing in this world, you know, in the natural realm, when we're weak, maybe we need food. Maybe we need nutrition. Maybe we need water. Maybe we need something to refresh us. Maybe we just need a good night's rest. There's lots of things that affect us in the natural realm that would cause us to be weak. But you know, those similar things affect us in the spiritual realm. When we talk about food, we're talking about this word. This is what feeds our souls. When Jesus asked, taught us to pray, give us this day our daily bread, where do we get that from? We get it from his word. He's the bread that came down from heaven. He's the true bread. All right? So, and Jesus even said, now listen carefully, he even said, he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood, okay, he that eateth not my flesh and drinketh my blood had no life in him. In other words, we're enlivened, all right? And he wasn't talking about his literal flesh and blood, but he was talking about what he represents to us. He is the word of God. He is the bread of heaven. He is the one upon which we feed. And so as we read this word, he's the word that was made flesh and dwelt among us. All right? So as we read his word, as we take in a portion of his word, it is food for our soul, and it will strengthen us. And I challenge you, if you doubt that in the least, I challenge you to read 3 or 4 chapters out of the word of God for a week. Just give me a week and see how you feel after that. I tell you, this word is indispensable when it comes to being strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Okay? We need that on a regular basis. Whether you're taking the time to sit down. And you know, to me, there's something comforting about holding the written word of God and reading it. But if your schedule is so jam-packed that you don't have time to sit down and hold that book and read it, then listen to it. There ought to be some opportunities you have that you could listen to a portion of his word. Whatever it takes, get the word in you, because it is food for your soul. And a well-fed soul can face a whole lot more trouble than one that's hungry. It's better. It's even better than a well-fed body, okay, in facing trouble, because the source of our help is the Lord himself. He's the one that can help us. And we're turning to him and looking to his word. So his word is food for our soul. His spirit refreshes our soul. Okay? And how we need that. Now, while I'm speaking of these things, we have to realize also that Satan is out there trying to keep you from it. That's why the Apostle Peter would say in 1 Peter chapter 5, I believe it's verse 8, your adversary, the devil. An adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, goeth about seeking whom he may devour. Well, that sounds like trouble. That sounds like if we're not careful, things can go the wrong direction for us. All right? So, and he's a formidable foe. Don't think that he's just some idea that you can just brush off. No, he's real. And he has power. As a matter of fact, when he was tempting Jesus, he took him up on the top of that temple and he showed him all those things and he said, you know, I can give you all of this. Because that was within his power. He could do that. So he's a formidable foe, and he doesn't have any interest in our good. All he wants to do is pull us away from God and destroy our life. And you look at the people that have turned aside, and you see what happens there. All right? So, but realizing all the while that Satan is our adversary, and he's trying to get after us and destroy us, there's a verse of scripture that we always need to put against that. That's a great comfort to us. I've quoted it to you many times. 2 Chronicles 16:9. 2 Chronicles 16:9. The latter part of that verse says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him. Did you hear that? Yes, Satan is our adversary, and yes, he's going about seeking whom he may devour, but the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of those whose heart's perfect toward him. We've got help. We've got all the help we need. We just need to turn to him and ask of him for the help that we stand in need of, because there are many times when we feel weak. There are many times that we feel like that what we're facing is more than we can handle. But we've got all the help we need in the Lord. All right? So he said, going back to our verse in Psalms, my flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. So, God's given us, you know, he's given us help already. As believers, there are a number of things, and this goes right along with what Brother Thomas was talking about, of things that we need to be thankful for. God has already blessed us with a lot of help. Okay? Already. I mean, it's just there. It's available to us. All right? Yesterday I had the privilege of being at Rock Pond in their services, and one of the things that I reminded the folks of over there is, and I've said it here a number of times, but if God never gave us another blessing, if he never gave us another blessing, which if you were listening to Brother Thomas, you know that's not going to happen, because his promise is that he daily loadeth us with benefits. All right, so that's not going to happen. But if it were to happen, hypothetically, if he never gave us another blessing, we already have enough to praise him in all eternity. In all eternity. You know, I used to say, and sometimes I still say, throughout eternity, but that's contradicting, isn't it? There is no end to it. Okay? That's why God's given us eternity to praise him, because it's just long enough to praise him enough, right? All right? So when we think about, God has already blessed us. All right? What has he blessed us with already? He gave us his son. God who spared not his own son, Romans chapter 8. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? If God gave us his son, don't you know he'll provide our blessings? Yes, he will. But there's times that he's pleased that we ask for them. And James tells us that we have not because we ask not. And sometimes we ask amiss so that we can consume it upon our own lusts. I've done that. Have you? All right, but he's pleased for us to ask for the things we need. Well, without asking, God has given us his son. 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Now that word propitiation, that's a big word. And I hope you understand what it is, but there may be some here that don't. And that's not a word that we commonly use in our conversation. All right? But he sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. In other words, he is the sacrifice. Jesus willingly gave himself. He laid down his life. John 10, he said, no man taketh my life from me. I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it up again. This commandment have I received of my Father. And so God sent his son, all right, here it is love, not that we love God, but he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. His sacrifice paid our sin debt. He willingly gave that himself. He gave himself for our sins. And God was satisfied. He paid the debt in full. I tell you, listen, that's something we can praise him for and thank him for the rest of our days. Because that's what we will be doing in glory, is thanking him for what he did for us. All right, so first of all, what he's already done for us and the help that we already have in him is that he has given us his son. And that has saved us eternally. Eternally. All right? But what about this world? Well, he's given us the new birth. All right? Without the new birth, you don't have any interest in God. You don't know God. You don't know anything. You might have learned something about God, but you don't know him in your heart. But he said, when it pleases God, he sends his spirit into our Jesus, when speaking to Nicodemus about this in John chapter 3, he mentioned the fact that he used the analogy of the wind to represent how the Spirit does its work. When's the last time you controlled the wind? Oh, you might put up some kind of a barrier to divert a little bit of it, but you can't control the wind. God does. All right? And Jesus said, the wind bloweth where it listeth. Where it will, that's what that means. The wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou couldst hear the sound thereof, but canst not tell from whence it cometh, nor whither it goeth. So is every one. Did you catch that? Everyone. By the sovereign working of the Holy Spirit. Not by the preacher, not by tract, but by the working of the Holy Spirit. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit of God. So God has given us his spirit. I've seen it in your lives. I've seen the working of it in your lives. I have evidence that I know that he's given you his spirit. That means you're one of his. All right? Even though Satan's going to whisper doubts and fears in those times when we're weak. You know, when we're weak, we're vulnerable. And that's when Satan wants to pound on us and distract us and discourage us and do all those kinds of things against us. Bless your hearts. If God has given you his spirit, if you have a love for God in your heart, if you have a desire to please God, if you have a hope of heaven, if you can show any of that, are showing any of those evidences, that is evidence that you are his child. And when you read this word on a regular basis, that spirit within you, it takes that word. And there's all kinds of encouragement and along the way, all right? So he's given us his son. He's also given us his spirit. And Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, Paul says to the brethren at Philippi, he says, wherefore as you have obeyed not only in my absence, but also not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Well, now, wait a minute, preacher. I thought it was by grace. It is. The salvation, the deliverance, the victory that he's talking about there is one that we need to experience on a daily basis. To deliver us from the cares of this world. To deliver us from those things that would work against us in this world. We need to work out our own salvation daily. He says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for, here's where the Spirit comes in, for it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So if you have eternal life, if you have the Spirit abiding in you, it's Christ in you, as the book of Colossians says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. If you have a hope of someday being in heaven with God and all of his redeemed family, bless your hearts, it's because he has given you his spirit. And that helps us greatly while we go through this life. We need, and I'll tell you something, sometimes if we get distracted, if we leave off the things of God, if we get too involved in the things of this world, you don't feel much of the leading of that Holy Spirit. But the more you read this word, the more it works within you, then bless your hearts, the stronger it is. Okay? Remember the old Indian story? It's not real good theology, but it has a good principle in it. The old Indian was telling the young brave that there's two wolves in each of us. Now, if you're born of the Spirit, this applies. There's two wolves in us. And the young brave said, well, which one's the strongest? Do you remember the answer? The one you feed the most. There's a good wolf and a bad wolf. And he says, which one's stronger? The one you feed the most. If you feed the flesh, you're not going to feel much of the Spirit. But if you sow to the Spirit, you'll reap life everlasting. You'll enjoy the blessings that God's given us. You'll be walking in fellowship with Him. So we need this word. We need to be feasting upon the Word of God. We need to be nurturing the Spirit so that we can be strong in the Spirit, so that we can feel the leadership of the Spirit, because He says He works in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. That doesn't say that He makes us do it, but He gives us the leadership of His Spirit. And when we're listening to the Spirit and following the Spirit, we'll do much better in this life. We've got the help we need for decisions, for facing discouragements in life, for dealing with whatever the devil throws at us. We need that help every day, all right? And He's already given us not only His Son eternally, He's given us His Holy Spirit. John chapter 14, let me just get a couple of verses here, because this is part of the help that the Spirit gives us, that the Lord's already placed within us when we're born of His Spirit. John chapter 14, verse 16. And I will pray the Father. By the way, remember, these are some of the last words Jesus gave us before He went to the cross. All right? So it says, John 14, verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter. See, while Jesus was in the presence of the apostles, they had the help that they needed in everything. But He's going away. This chapter began by Him saying He's going away. All right? But Jesus said, I will pray to the Father and He shall give you another comforter. That word comforter has a capital C. It's the Holy Spirit, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. Whatever the Spirit in us, the Holy Spirit bears witness to the truth. So that when you read the Word of God, that's words of truth, and it rejoices your heart. When you hear the Word of God preached, and it's preached in truth, then it rejoices your heart, because the Spirit rejoices with truth. All right? So He says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, they don't have the Spirit, so they can't receive that truth. Because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. Let that sink in for a second. Jesus, to His apostles, which flows down to us today, the promise is He will not leave us comfortless. And that word, that expression means He's not going to leave us like orphans. And the idea is He's not going to leave us with nobody to protect us, nobody to provide for us, nobody to take care of us, nobody to love us. We're not in that condition. Though He's gone back into heaven, He's given us His Holy Spirit. And that Spirit is a comforter. It's the Holy. It's the Spirit of truth. And it helps us. It provides for us. All right? And then, let's see. We started with John 14, 16. Let's end up with John 16, 14. Okay? John 16, 14, speaking about the Spirit of truth, He said, He shall glorify Me. All right? You know, John tells us later in 1 John how that we're to try the spirits. And some people, all they want to talk about is the Spirit. The Spirit. The feeling of the Spirit. Leading of the Spirit. Well, that's good. But the true Spirit, the Spirit of truth, will testify of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did for us. All right, He says, He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All right? So God has already given us his Son. He's given us his Holy Spirit. He's given us the new birth. And then for our daily practice, he gives us prayer. Prayer. When I bring up prayer, I always like to ask the question, how is your prayer life? How's your prayer life? How good is it? How weak is it? You know, you should know by now my favorite George Washington quote, my favorite. He said sometimes he had to repent of his praying. Sometimes we get that way. We get distracted. We get lackluster. All right? Prayer is powerful. Because we're calling upon God. And the only true prayer is by faith in the Spirit. And so we're calling upon the one who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. That's how able he is. He can do more than you can ever imagine. Has he done anything for you? Have you thanked him for it? You probably still need to thank him for it. All right? Yes, he's done marvelous things for us. He is the help and the strength that we need in whatever we're facing. And I was so encouraged this morning. So many of the songs that were selected and sung was touching on this idea that God is our helper. He is our strength. He's our refuge. And we need to seek him daily in his word and in prayer. Prayer. Prayer is to the soul like oxygen is to the body. That's not original with me. I read it somewhere, but I like it. Right? Prayer is to the soul like oxygen is to the body. Remember, I started out by saying sometimes we need food. Sometimes we need refreshing. Sometimes we need a good night's rest. But I tell you what, we need oxygen, don't we? We need it desperately. You can't last very long without oxygen. Okay? Well, prayer to God helps us in that regard. Okay? So when we think about, he's given us prayer. Now, if you go over to 1 Timothy chapter 2, when he talks about how that we should be praying for our leaders, he talks about, prayer and supplication and thanksgiving and giving of thanks and all those be offered up for all men. For all that are in authority, all those kinds of things, all right? Prayer is so important. We need it every day. We need it. We're speaking to God. God has given us the privilege, the ability to speak with him. And so sometimes we're offering up supplications. Sometimes we're making intercessions. You know, the supplications when we make our petitions to God. We ask him for the things that we stand in need of. And there's nothing wrong with that. What's wrong, what might get wrong with that is when that's all we ever do. Gimme, gimme, gimme. Right? Remember, we had this little book called from the Berenstain Bears, one of the Berenstain Bears books. It was the Berenstain Bears Get the Gimmies. I've mentioned that a number of times. We don't need to get the gimmies in our praying. It's okay for us to ask for our needs. But part of our praying needs to be interceding for others. Asking for the Lord to help and bless and supply the needs of others. We have a long prayer list on our bulletin that we print each month. I hope that you take some time from time to time, and ask the Lord to bless the folks that's on that list. Okay, I don't know everybody on that list. You don't know everybody on that list, but God does. And he's able to supply that need. And so let's just pray the Lord to bless those folks that's on our prayer list. And pray for one another. Okay, the more we spend our time praying for others, the stronger we'll be. What a blessing that is. That we have prayer, okay? We also have the church. I mean, I could go on all day with the things that God's already blessed us with, things that Brother Thomas said that we need to be thanking him for, all right? Plenty of things that God has done, but he's given us his son, he's given us his word, he's given us the new birth, he's given us prayer. He also has given us the church, and it's a refuge from this world that we can come in and as a body of believers and of like precious faith and rejoice in what Jesus has done for us, what God sent him to do, what he accomplished on the cross, and the hope of heaven that we have because he finished the work. What a blessing that we have in our Lord, and what a blessing it is to come as a body of believers. And that's why, I mean, it is such a blessing that that's why the scripture says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. All right? The word of God tells us it's needful for us. And that's one of the things about COVID that just really bothered me a lot, is because there was so many things going on that was trying to keep people separated, keep people shut in, keep people from joining together, all right, and communing with one another. That's exactly the opposite of what God would have for his people. He knows we need to be together. We need one another. You know, when you're down in the dumps, you need to be here so you can get lifted up. If you're on the mountaintop, you need to be here to help somebody else get lifted up. I mean, God knew what he was doing when he set up the church. And he's given it to us. And oh, how we need to appreciate it, how we need to cherish the peace of it, how we need to work toward doing whatever we can so that the light from this church, and I'm not talking about the building, I'm talking about the membership, those that gather here to worship, that we, our light would be bright in a city that's set upon a hill that cannot be hid. You know, the nice thing about this city is that our light, we can divide it and we can go out into the world, and each one of us can let our light shine before others, so that we can bring glory to God. All right? But I like also the expression that says, the light that shines the brightest. Let's see, I'm sorry. The light that shines the farthest is the light that shines the brightest at home. The light that shines the farthest is the light that shines the brightest at home. How can we have a bright light out there if it's not coming from in here? God has given us the church a special blessing. It's so special that the typology in the scriptures is that Christ is the husband and the church is the bride. How glorious is that? And guess what? The main thing that a husband is to do is to provide and protect and to love. And that's what Christ does for his church. He's already shown us. He's already secured our eternal salvation. He's there for us each day to load us with benefits. Why should we get discouraged? You know, why should we get weak? Well, there's reasons for that. We don't avail ourselves to the strength that we have. We don't avail ourselves to the help that we have. Our focus gets off and onto other things. They're not going to provide the strength and the help that God does. All right? So, he's given us the church. He's also given us hope. I tell you, when you get down and discouraged, hope is what you need. You need that. And if you're born of the Spirit, you've got Christ in you, the hope of glory. I don't have to go somewhere and find something. He's right there within me. He's in each one of you, the hope of glory. Why is he the hope of glory? Because he's the one that satisfied God's just demands of the law. He's the one that paid our sin debt, and he paid it in full. He didn't leave anything for us to do to obtain eternal salvation. That's why Hebrews chapter 9 verse 12 says that neither by the blood of bulls and goats, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Hebrews 9:12, wonderful passage that tells us what Christ has already done for us. So what a blessing it is that we can look to him and be encouraged and strengthened because of what we know that we already have. All right? So the Word of God teaches us, reminds us, feeds us, it enriches us, refreshes us. Look at Psalm 19, verse 28. Psalm 119, verse 28. The psalmist says in verse 28, Psalm 119, verse 28, my soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. There's strength that we can derive from reading the Word of God. And in Psalm 119, every one of those, 176 verses of that psalm, every one of those verses speaks in some regard about the Word of God, be it commandments or statutes or judgments or whatever the case might be. It's some form of the Word of God, and it can strengthen us. It can help us, whatever we need. I think I mentioned very early on this morning, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, where we're admonished to be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. It's available to us. If we come to him and ask him for the help and the strength and the grace that we need. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 and 10, he speaks about my grace is sufficient. See, Paul had gotten to a place, he had a thorn in the flesh. We're not told what that thorn was, so we can study the scriptures and come up with our best guess, but he didn't tell us what that thorn was, and I believe there's a reason for that. So that it could address whatever need you have. But Paul had a thorn in the flesh, and he begged God three times to remove it. I believe he was feeling weak. I believe he was feeling worn down. I believe it was a real trouble to him. And he was begging God three times. 2 Corinthians 12. Remember what God told him? No. In my summation of it, he told him no. All right? Because he'd already said why God gave him that thorn. It was a thorn in the flesh to buffet him. It was a thorn in the flesh as a messenger from Satan to buffet him, lest he should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations. In other words, it kept him from getting the big head. It kept him from trusting in the flesh and trusting in his wisdom. It kept his feet on the ground. And so God didn't just tell him no, by the way. He said, my grace. What are we talking about? The help, the strength, the encouragement, the blessing, all of that that we need from the Lord, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now, if you think you're strong and you can handle anything the world can throw at you, you don't have any appreciation for the grace of God. But when you've gotten to the place where you realize, Lord, I can't handle this. This is too big for me. This is dragging me down. I'm weak. I'm ready to give up. When you get to that place, you'll appreciate the grace of God. You'll appreciate that his strength is made perfect in weakness. And so when we feel our weakness and when we call upon him, that's when he gives the strength. That's when he makes it perfect to us. That's when he helps us to understand what we need is from the Lord. And he's got all that we need. And he's willing to give it to us. He's pleased to give it to us. And so as we think about, he said, my grace is sufficient, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. We come to an understanding of it, of his strength, when we realize our own weakness. All right? So his grace is sufficient. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, probably a favorite verse of some of you here. I can do all things. I can. You see how opposite that is from discouragement and weakness? I can do all things, not of myself though, right? Through Christ, which strengtheneth me. That's where our help is. That's where our strength is. That's where all that we need has to come from. Now what, I mean, Paul told us that in Ephesians 1 and 3. Ephesians 1 and 3, it said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. It all has to come from him. And it all comes for his sake. And it all comes through him. So may God help us to look to him and ask of him the things that we stand in need of each day. Do you remember in the Old Testament when the children of Israel were rebuilding the wall to Jerusalem in the book of Nehemiah? Okay, that's a powerful book. Maybe we need to go through it sometime. Nehemiah. And there were enemies that kept coming out to try to, you know, at first they said, you know, we want to work with you. And that ought to be a red flag right there when your enemies want to work with you. They didn't want that work to be done. Okay? But so the enemies continued to try to discourage them, try to criticize them, try to stop the work in various ways. But Nehemiah reminded them, the joy of the Lord is your strength. You see, that's where the strength comes, when we're rejoicing in the Lord. And I'll tell you something. If you'll just remember what Brother Thomas said this morning, and give thanks in all things, and be ready to thank God for whatever comes your way, and ask him for the wisdom that you need to face it the right way, I tell you, there'll be more rejoicing in your heart. There'll be a joy that swells up when we're doing what's right and honoring him with whatever we're facing, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. So if we're neglecting the things of God, if we're neglecting the Word of God, if we're neglecting prayer, if we're neglecting these things, we're going to find ourselves, our soul at least, is going to be in a weakened state. Oh, how we need the Lord in all that he provides for us. I'm going to close with Psalm 62, verse 7. Psalm 62, verse 7. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. Salvation, glory, the rock of our strength, and our refuge, it's all in the Lord. Does anybody need some strength today? Does anybody need some encouragement? Does anybody need some light for your way? Go to the Lord. I hope I've stirred your mind and touched your heart this morning with this message, but go to the Lord in prayer and start out by thanking him. Start that prayer by thanking him for all that you have, all that you know that you will have in glory. And then ask him for his help. Ask him for his strength. Ask him for whatever it is that you need. Sometimes God says yes, and he provides it. And you've experienced that, haven't you? Sometimes he says, no, you don't need that. And you know the thing about prayer, it may not change your circumstances, but it may change you. It may help you to see why you don't need that. So sometimes he says no. Sometimes he says not now. You may not be ready for it. There may be some other things. There may be 40 other things in other people's lives that needs to be worked on before you're ready to receive that answer. So he says sometimes wait. We don't like to wait, do we? But we need to. We need to. Our strength comes from the Lord. And so as we think about, there are times, and we're going to have those times. It's just the natural thing about life. Jesus said, in the world ye shall have tribulation. And so sometimes it's a broken nail. Sometimes it's a tragedy. Whatever the case might be, the answer is always the same. The Lord is our strength and our help. He's the one we need above everything else. May God help us to quickly and consistently seek the Lord each day we live and find our strength. Paul said, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. May God bless you, is our prayer.